O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation. Psalm 22. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. You have brought me to the dust of death. O my strength, hasten to help me. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouth, like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. Four dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's snare, and from the horns of the wild oxen you have answered me. You who fear the Lord, praise him, for he has done this. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. My God, why have you forsaken me?
The Old Testament reading for Good Friday is from the 52nd and 53rd chapters of Isaiah. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should despise him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Here ends the reading. The second reading is from the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Here ends the reading. The final reading is the Passion of St. John from the 18th and 19th chapters. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, Whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke. Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said. Indeed, they know what I said. And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Do you answer the high priest like that? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, You are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, What accusation do you bring against this man? They answered and said to him, If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. Then Pilate said to them, You take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore the Jews said to him, It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nations and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all, but you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" Then they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Peter heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me, unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore, the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'He said I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said, therefore, among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, They shall look on him whom they pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus, bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as is the custom of the Jews, to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Here ends the reading. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation. Deliver me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. Sing my tongue the glorious battle, sing the ending of the fray. Now above the cross the trophy the loud triumphant lay. Tell how Christ the world's Redeemer as a victim won the day. Tell how when at length the fullness of the appointed time was come, he the Word was born of woman, left for us his Father's home, blazed the path of true obedience, shone as light amidst the gloom. Thus with 30 years accomplished, he went forth from Nazareth, destined, dedicated, willing, did his work and met his death. Like a lamb he humbly yielded on the cross his dying breath. Faithful cross, true sign of triumph before all the noblest tree. None in foliage, none in blossom, none in fruit your equal be. Symbol of the world's redemption, for your burden makes us free. Unto God be praise and glory, to the Father and the Son, to the eternal Spirit honor, now and ever more be done. Praise and glory in the highest, while the timeless ages run.
The sermon text is from John chapter 19, verse 35 and 36. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done, that the scriptures should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The book of the prophet Isaiah includes 4 servant songs in which the promised Messiah is described. Today's first reading from Isaiah 52:13 to 53:12 often is called the suffering servant. It is the 4th and the most important of all of them. These verses are quoted in the New Testament more than any other Old Testament passages. So on this day, which the Lord has made, it is only appropriate that we examine the prophecy about our Savior Jesus Christ and his fulfillment of it in St. John's Passion account. In John's Gospel, the beginning of Holy Week starts with chapter 12. It includes the anointing of Jesus at Lazarus' house in Bethany and the Palm Sunday entry into Jerusalem. Now, when some Greeks came wanting to speak with Jesus, he announces, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And a little later he says, "Now is the judgment of this world, now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and if I am lifted up from the earth,
will draw all peoples to myself. Isaiah began his fourth song speaking about the Messiah being lifted up. Isaiah says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." Now the crowd who had heard Jesus' teaching didn't understand what he meant, and they asked, "How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up?" This whole exchange and the resulting unbelief were foretold in Isaiah 53, verse 1, and then quoted by John chapter 12, verse 38, which says, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" That revelation, or Isaiah's gospel report, is the topic for our sermon. We need to see that the deeply despised one shall be the highly exalted one. And thus, by the revelation of the humiliation and exaltation of Jesus, we come to understand and believe the mission of the Messiah. The lifting up of Jesus. It begins when he is raised up above the earth on his cross. He continues to be lifted up by his resurrection and his rising from the dead. All expectation comes to completion. All exaltation comes to completion when Jesus is lifted up at his ascension to the right hand of the Father. However, before we can speak about his being lifted up, Isaiah describes just exactly who will be lifted up. Now, there have been many who have risen through the ranks to achieve a high position. There have been kings who have conquered lands, athletes who have achieved crowns of victory. Scientists have made discoveries which have lifted their names above others. Nevertheless, unlike the others, the suffering servant receives his lifting up for the reason that he was despised. Judas considers Jesus to be worthless as a teacher and agrees to betray him for a paltry sum of silver. Jesus has done nothing wrong, and yet troops come to the Garden of Gethsemane in order to arrest him. The Israelite officer strikes Jesus' mouth with his hand for his words, though Jesus has spoken no evil. His own nation despised him, considered him worthy of death. Jesus speaks the truth, yet Pilate will not defend him against these envious accusations. Pilate knew full well that Jesus was not a threat. Pilate considers Jesus not worthy of preserving and willingly gives him over to be crucified. After all, Pilate's job was on the line. Jesus is mockingly dressed in purple, wearing a crown of thorns. The soldiers struck him and beat him in hopes of appeasing the chief priests. And finally, Pilate delivers him over to be crucified. Being placed between two criminals, he was treated like a criminal. His clothing was gambled away. He died a cursed man. Now, Isaiah's words sound as if he witnessed that whole thing. Isaiah wrote, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, but we did not esteem him." John's gospel tells us that Isaiah, did see it all. John 12, verse 41 says, "These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him." Not only did the nations consider Jesus despised, but they were sure that God did also. Isaiah 53, verse 4 says, "Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. Well, it is true for us as well. When we do not make the hearing of the Word of God our first concern, we have despised the message of the Messiah. When we do not make use of the opportunities to attend services and preaching, we despise the revelation of God concerning our Savior from sin. If we do not hold His Word sacred and gladly hear and learn it, well, then we must esteem something else to be of a greater concern and value. Like Pilate, we have chosen to hold to other things and to hand over the Word to be crucified. We have been given the gift of prayer in Jesus' name, but when we do not call upon it in every trouble, we are esteeming something else as more valuable and necessary than calling upon God's help. So Isaiah sums it all up. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Let us return to Isaiah's suffering servant song. He says this, "Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider." Though the kings, didn't see at first, but rather considered him to be despised by men and God, they did later come to see. In acknowledgement of their utter failure to discern what was really going on, they have shut their mouths. It would be like saying, "I will no longer spout off my opinions and things about things I do not understand. I will give my ear to hear and to be taught." What was it that brought them to believe the report? It was Jesus being highly exalted that made them reconsider their judgment. The resurrection of Jesus made them look differently at Jesus' suffering and death. When they saw that God had exalted him and highly exalted him and lifted him very high, the people came to a different understanding. They now knew that Jesus wasn't being punished for his sins. He wasn't rejected by God. Jesus wasn't a liar when he claimed to be the Son of God. When you put the death and the resurrection together, you come to a completely different conclusion. When you see that the one who is deeply despised is the one who was highly exalted, then the former understanding simply doesn't make sense. The man of sorrows and acquainted with grief was here on a mission. He came for a purpose. Isaiah said, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." We now see that the entire account of St. John's Passion is about the Son of God, who became true man to purchase the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus was the Heavenly Father's appointed high priest in order to cleanse us from our sins. Isaiah uses priestly language when he says in chapter 52, verse 15, "So shall he sprinkle many nations." In fact, he was not stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted for his own sins. No, not at all. Isaiah said, "He had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief." And there was a great purpose in God's mind. Isaiah says, "When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." We are God's seeds. Through faith in our Savior, we are Jesus' offspring. Jesus' work was done prudently. He actually prospered in bringing many people to salvation. Isaiah says, "By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." All thanks be to God for revealing to us that Jesus was God's right arm accomplishing his purpose. We praise our Lord for giving us faith to believe in Isaiah's report. Through faith in Christ, we are justified, that is, declared righteous. St. John tells us that his purpose in presenting to us our Lord's passion was this, quote, "And he who has seen us testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled." Isaiah's report concerning the suffering servant let us know God's will before it happened. And St. John's report reveals to us the will of God after it happened. The deeply despised one was in the end highly exalted. By the revelation of the humiliation and exaltation of Jesus, we come to understand and believe in the mission of the Messiah. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The Magnificat. Let my prayers rise before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from this day all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him throughout all generations. He has shown the strength of his arm and scattered the proud in their own conceit. He has put down the mighty from their seat, and exalted the humble and meek. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has remembered his mercy and sustained his servant Israel, as he promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry come to you.
Almighty God, we implore you graciously to behold this your family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ was contented to be betrayed and given up into the hands of wicked men, and to suffer death upon the cross, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Merciful and everlasting God, who has not spared your only Son, but delivered him up for us all, that he might bear our sins upon the cross, grant that our hearts may be so fixed with steadfast faith in him, that we may not fear the power of any adversaries, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, who has willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross, that you might remove from us the power of the adversary, help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may obtain remission of sins and redemption from everlasting death. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Blessed Savior, at this hour you hung upon the cross, stretching out your loving arms. Grant that all the peoples of the earth may look to you and be saved. For your mercy's sake, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of heaven and earth, we poor miserable sinners must confess that we have most dreadfully angered you, O God, with our sinful life and being, and wherefore you justly pour out your wrath upon us and attack us with various plagues, epidemics, and diseases. What then should we do? Should we despair? Far be it. We know that we deserve not only the epidemic which now rages as a punishment for manifold sins, but even greater and more heinous plagues than this. Where then shall we flee? And where shall we turn that we may be safe from this and other plagues and pandemics? To you alone, Lord Jesus Christ. We have no other comfort either in heaven or on earth except you, who have redeemed us. Surely you will not cast off your creation. Therefore we humbly call, sigh, and cry out to you with our whole heart, saying, God, be merciful to us, and blot out all our sins according to your exceeding great grace, goodness, and mercy. Cease from your displeasure, wrath, and indignation toward us. Show us again your grace, and spare us from the epidemic and abominable sickness which now rages. Listen to our pleas, O Lord. Listen to our pleas and spare us. Kindly protect and shelter us, that this epidemic may not hurt or come near us, nor seize or take us away. But if it be your divine will that we should end our life in this epidemic and depart this world, your gracious will be done, for it is always the best. Hereupon we commend ourselves, our body and soul, wife and child, and all our household into your divine grace and fatherly hand, humbly beseeching from our heart that if we should meet our final hour unexpectedly, and even now approach the time when our body and soul must be separate, you would mercifully preserve our faculty of reason, that we may be able with a clear mind to commend our soul to you. And grant us further a blessed end, that we, passing through temporal death, which is the end of all sorrow and misery, and opens to us the door of eternal life,
may the more speedily enter into that same eternal life and come to our Redeemer and Savior, and with all the elect of God in heaven, eternally rejoice. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally by your mercy obtain eternal salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.